Our scripture reading tonight is taken from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 15. And the portion of scripture that we consider on the occasion of baptism, verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 16. We look at this passage also in light of the truth of the fact that we're beginning our Bible studies season, as well as catechism in our Christian school. So we read the Word of God in Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah prophesying at the end of the kingdom of Judah. Shortly they would be destroyed, as Jeremiah must tell them, by Babylon. Jeremiah 15, "Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind should not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, Thus saith the Lord, Such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it is yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord." Woe is me. This is the word of Jeremiah speaking. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, "Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil, and in the time of affliction shall iron break the northern iron and the steel. Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you." Here's Jeremiah speaking. "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, Thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? And now the Lord responds, Therefore thus saith the Lord, If thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. May God bless this reading of Scripture unto our minds and hearts. The passage tonight, verse 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Of all the people that are alive tonight on the earth, there is none who have more opportunities to know and to grow in the Word of God than do you and I. I say that not of boast. I say that in humble acknowledgement of what God has given to us. He has opened the windows of heaven, and He has poured out upon us every opportunity to know the precious and holy Scriptures, in order that our lives, by His grace, might be turned into a testimony for Him and a testimony of righteousness. As a couple, if you are to raise Amber to the fear and the honor of God, then your home, your life, must be built upon the Holy Scriptures and a living, growing faith in the Holy Scriptures. Remember with me the words of the Lord Jesus when He said that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them will be like a man that builds his house upon the rock, so that when the wind and the rain come, it shall not be swept away. The sayings of Jesus are the entire Holy Scriptures. For Jesus also said in John 5, verse 39, Search the Scriptures, for these are they that testify of me. All of Scripture, every part, is the infallible Word of God concerning Jesus Christ and concerning our salvation and the truth in Him. You are to build your house upon the Word of God. The life of a parent, now your parents, God has entrusted to you this child. The life of a parent is one of bringing the Word of God to your daughter. And therefore, as we spoke many times, the Scriptures must not be a book on the shelf, and prayer must not be hit and miss, and the reading of the Bible in your life must not be left up for the weekend, and your life must not get so involved that you're never home and regularly and daily opening the Holy Scriptures already now. Breaking that word of life as you will. When she gets bigger, she'll be in a high chair, and you'll take the food and you'll break it. When she's ready to eat table food, you'll break it into little pieces. You must take that word of God as she grows and break it and feed it to her according to her capacity and understanding, that God will bless that, and she may grow strong in faith. The same importance is for all of us as a congregation in all of our homes and every one of us. It's for us now as a congregation when we return to that time where our Bible studies will be beginning. And we pray for a good attendance at these Bible studies. And if you're not able to attend those Bible studies, we would encourage you yet to follow along in your own self at your home. This Word of God comes to every family here, that we must build our families upon the Word of God, that we must not let the busy schedule, also the good things in our Christian schools and the activities of our children, to supplant, to take away from us our regularity of being regular in our families, that we will read the Scriptures, we will speak of the Scriptures at our meal table, we will pray together. As parents, we thank God for our schools. But as parents, ours is the calling of God to take the Word of God and bring that to our families and to ourselves. There is simply no healthy Christian life apart from the daily diet of the Holy Scriptures. It cannot be done. It never has been done. And it never will be done. The way of the Christian life is the way of the Holy Scriptures. In the Scriptures, God, by His Holy Spirit, communicates to us to know Him and to have fellowship with Him. In the Scriptures, He brings to us that only truth of saving grace, which saves us from all of our sins. In the Scriptures, and in the study of the Scriptures and prayer, God Himself strengthens us with the life that is from above, and He builds our faith strong and steadfast. And the devil knows that. And therefore, the devil wishes the Scriptures to simply go away from the church, or the church to deny the Scriptures and say it's not all the Word of God. And for the Scriptures not just to be denied, the church does not need to deny the Scripture and throw it out. All we need to do is ignore it. And that will content the devil as well. The Bible. The Bible will make you strong unto salvation. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah, as we read the chapter, was indeed that prophet of God sent to rebellious and to many who were reprobate in Judah to announce their judgment, their inescapable judgment of Jehovah God. And as he was called to be this prophet, throughout the book, we find times when Jeremiah is worn down by the intense opposition that he receives when he faithfully brings God's word. And our text is one of those times. He's talking to God. Throughout the book, he talks to God about the weariness and the discouragement, and of how times he says to God, I'm done. I'm not going to open my mouth again in your service. And of how God restores him. Our chapter spoke of the fact that he suffered rebuke. He was persecuted. They even cursed him. They cussed him out for bringing the word of God to them. He says in our text that throughout all that time he had been digesting the Word of God. But although he had been digesting that Word of God, he had a question for God. He came to that in verse 18. That question is why? He asked God whether he had become to Jeremiah a liar. It seemed to him that God was not fulfilling the promises of his Word. He asked God, are you like waters that fail? And he means to say, if your word is true, how can this be happening to me? How can I be in this situation? I'm being faithful to your word, and they put me in stocks, and they make me a ridicule. And it was only to get worse. They would drop him into a pit of mud to starve him. And we ask the same question often in our lives. Sometimes we say to God that what we're experiencing is so contrary to what we have read in His Word and to His promises. We say to Him, we have sought to be faithful to Thy Word. We have sought out Thy Word, and yet we go through many trials and difficulties. Why, O Lord? And the Lord's response to him was very simple. Stick with the diet. You have been eating my word. Stick with the diet. You're ready to give up and despair. Stay with the word of God. Don't look for a different medication. Don't look for a different word. Stay with my word. Verse 20, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So we want to consider just verse 16 tonight. We use the theme, our spiritual diet. I'd like to point out here that we have our spiritual nourishment, God's word, that we have, secondly, joyful hearts. Jeremiah says that he eats the word of God, and it's the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And then finally, we have personal assurance, for I am called by thy name. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. What does he mean when he says, thy word was found? Had Jeremiah misplaced his Bible? Had one of those scrolls that his scribe, as we learn in this book, his scribe Barak would write out the word of God and write them up in scrolls? Had one of those scrolls been misplaced by Barak and he couldn't find it? Or had his enemies now come and taken the Bible and the Word of God away from him? What does he mean when he says, I found thy Word, was it lost? And the answer is no, it was in plain view. Just as for us tonight, in your pews, it was in plain view. Just as in our homes, it's in plain view. He knew exactly where it was. It's coming a day, and there's places in the world right now where they have taken away the scriptures and they can't find it. But no, for him and for us, it was in plain view. He doesn't mean that he can't find the Bible. He doesn't mean either that he can't find his way around in the Bible. Thy word was found. He was looking for something and he could never find it. And finally he discovered it in one of the books. He doesn't mean that. But he means thy word was found in that I was searching it. It was not a superficial look at the Bible. It was not simply an opening of the Bible and paging through it and looking for something, but he had been searching. He had been seeking the Word of God. That he finds that Word of God means that that powerful Word of God had, by the Holy Spirit, dawned upon his heart. It had been discovered unto his soul. That he actually understood it. He had eaten it. He had swallowed it. He had digested it into his heart and soul. That's what he means by finding it. He had been searching the Holy Scriptures. He had been looking not because the Bible is an obscure book and it takes years and years to try to decipher different things. For the Bible is perspicuous. That is, it is clear. It is infinitely deep. But to the believer, to every believer by the Spirit of God, it is a clear book. So the Bible wasn't the interpretation or understanding of it. It was not hid from him by God. But to truly understand it, he had to search it out. Note with me the focus of the Holy Spirit here in the words of Jeremiah, that, note carefully, thy words, plural, were found, and I did eat them, and thy word, singular, was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. First plural, then singular. And that's very significant because by words he means the different verses, the different parts. He was looking into different parts of the word of God as it is inspired. But then when he speaks of thy word, he means the Bible there in the sense of its harmony, in the sense of its collected teaching, or we may say the doctrine. He knew first the Holy Scriptures, the words of God. He studied them. And then the Scriptures as one word, one system of doctrine and truth. Remember with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture, every part of Scripture, every verse of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable unto doctrine and understanding. He came to understand the intent of the Word of God, the doctrines and the teachings of the Word of God. He knew both. He knew first the words, and then he began to grasp the beautiful doctrines. I ask us tonight about that, whether it is not true, praise God, that we understand. I speak to the young people, I speak to myself, that yes, people will say of us, they know their doctrine. That's good. But do we know where it's found? And the words of Holy Spirit, do we know our Bible? Do we know the Scripture? Can we show? Can we gladly show? Do we write down, if we can't remember, in the back of our Bibles, different texts which show different doctrines of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Trinity, God's predestination, total depravity, the end of the world, the return of Christ. We know those doctrines. But we must know the words of God. He says, I ate them. And of course, children, that doesn't mean that he began to eat the pages of the Bible and digest and swallow it. But he means that, as I was saying, he ingested them. The Holy Spirit blessed them unto his soul. It means that he meditated on the Bible. He did not simply skim over it, but he began to taste spiritually what he had been reading. He began to query the Bible. Query is to ask a question. He began to ask questions of the Scriptures. He would read the verse carefully. He would meditate upon those verses as to exactly what it meant. Are there other places where God says the same to shed light upon this? He pored over the Bible. It took time. It took effort. He studied. And that word began to feed him, began to strengthen him. God has given to us, children and young people, God has given to us two lives. He's given to us the physical life. And we learned about that this morning, that God knows that, and we need food to live, to serve him. He's given us a physical life which depends upon food and drink. We have to eat to be strong and to exercise. But God has also given to us, by his grace in Jesus Christ, a spiritual life. We have not become children of God by a choice or a decision of our will. Christianity is not something that we decided to get into, a movement. It's not a political party. It's not a way of looking at things. It is a divine work of God in our hearts. We have been born from above by the Holy Spirit, and now we see, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God. That spiritual life that God has given to us is fed by the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's the desire to get even, get them back, and all guile, that's being tricky, crafty in relationships, and all hypocrisies, being outwardly what you're not inwardly, and all envies and all evil speakings, lay that aside. How? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It's by drinking in first the milk. I was saying with Amber, she's a little girl, and you teach her patiently. But as we grow spiritually, as the body grows, we grow spiritually. Then it's no longer just the milk of the Word of God, but what Paul says in Hebrews 5, the meat of the Word of God. The Bible is our spiritual diet. Jesus said to the Jews, John 7:27, after he had fed the 5,000 and they found him the next day in Capernaum, they were curious how he got there so quickly. He had walked upon the water. But they came to him and they were very interested in him. They wanted that bread, that physical bread he had given them. They wanted him for their stomach, for gastrointestinal reasons. They wanted him. And Jesus said to them, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat which the Son of God shall give to you. His words are striking. Labor not for the meat that perishes. He means the meat that is putrid. He is picturing them for them. What you're seeking me for is putrid meat. It's like taking one of the award-winning pigs at the fair and butchering it and hanging it up in the sun, the hot suns that we've had this summer, for 2-3 days. Just let it hang there, and it begins to rot and decay. Who would seek that? Who would want that? Jesus says, so it is. You seek me for the things that will decay, earthly success and all the rest. But I've not come for that. You need to labor for the life, for the meat that I alone am able to give to you. And that's the Holy Scriptures. That's salvation made known in Holy Scripture from your sins and from your death. Labor for that food. And therefore, the meaning is very clear. The Bible is spiritual food for the Christians. For Christians. In a USA survey, the USA Today paper, they had a survey in there this past summer. I tore it out and kept it. And the survey, how accurate surveys are, but it said that 18% of confessing Christians ever read the Bible. So that would be 2 out of 10, or 1 out of 5, those who say they are Christians Only one out of five know anything about the Bible. And then they said that about 57% say, who confess that they're Christians, they say they never read the Bible. What about you and me? There are multitudes that are deceived that they are Christians because they have no appetite for the Word of God. And yes, beloved, we do lose that appetite. That's true. And the only thing to gender that appetite is Scripture itself. We must see that the Scriptures are our necessary spiritual food. The Scriptures themselves, again, not just devotionals, very proper, very good to have your devotional, but so to speak, that's somebody else having digested that. That's good. We can learn from that. But God Himself has spoken to you, and He will feed you. Have not I spoken, says the Lord? The Holy Scriptures. That's our nourishment. Three brief applications tonight on that. This must be true of our ministers. A minister must always give evidence that he is feeding on the Word of God, that he is feeding on the Word of God in his preparations for the sermons, that he is feeding the Word of God even onto his own soul. And so no minister can properly preach the Word of God unless he has been feeding himself that Word of God in his own life. You have to pray that God will so give to me, and we need to pray that God will so give to us in these last days such ministers who bring the Word of God without apology, who declare, for the Scriptures declare, this is the truth, and there is no truth apart from it. It means that we must study. That's the second application. As we've said, we must study the Holy Scriptures. We need to digest it. As women, we will go to the store and we will analyze the label. We read labels carefully. We want to know what's inside that can. How much sodium, how many fats, salt, and preservatives. And so we memorize the outside of the can, okay, and then we take it home. I'll feed my family this, but you don't get any nourishment unless you open it and eat it. So we can confess the Bible is inspired, the Bible teaches about Christ, the Bible teaches this doctrine, the Bible's, we know the label, but we need to open it. Or as women, we'll have recipes and we'll swap recipes. And we'll say, oh, I got a recipe on that. What are you making for supper? You're making that for supper? I think I got a recipe. And you dig it out and you text it to your friend, and then the text comes back and says, what does the text say? She texts you back and she says, did you try it? Is it good? Well, it looks pretty good. Did you try it? Did you make it? Did you eat it? So when we bring each other Holy Scriptures and we encourage each other in Holy Scriptures, you go to someone in the hospital, you go to your friend who's discouraged, who's despairing, who's crying, and you bring them a Scripture. I have the right to ask you, don't I? Did you eat it? What did it mean to you? Why are you telling me that? Why do you think this is so important? What did God show you in that scripture? And then finally, the application is that we're being told to eat the Word of God because this is the battlefield of faith. And that comes out in that last statement, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And whenever you see Lord God of hosts, you must think of the battlefield, the host of the army of God. And you must think of the good fight of the Christian in our faith. And therefore, the prophet here is eating the Holy Scripture because he's engaged in the battle of faith. And therefore, he needs that. An army, the army of Christ, as any other army, moves on its stomach. An army has to be fed if it's going to fight. Obvious. Ulysses Grant, his great campaign in Vicksburg, he succeeded in taking that crucial city where many others had failed. He himself had failed a year before. He took it. How did he do it? By a campaign in which he cut off every conceivable supply to that city, and they had no food. And he waited for them to come out. This is the way the devil knows. You'll give it up if you don't have spiritual food. You'll change. You won't be convicted if we don't have spiritual. If we are in the good fight of faith as young people, as Church of Jesus Christ, we won't fight unless there's something in our spiritual gut, and that's the Word of God. And then we read, "And thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." We read here that God, even in this moment of deep distress, Jeremiah must confess that that word, even though he's going through this struggle, is nevertheless the source of the happiness of his heart. He has joy. And so the question, where does happiness, where for the child of God, where will this come from in my life? Well, it will come from God, yes. Walking with God, yes. But how do I walk with God? What's the source of walking with God? How do I come into his presence consciously? Through the Word of God. Through corporate worship. Worship right now under the preaching of the Word of God. We have joy as we hear the Scriptures expounded to us. This is very important. Last Monday night in the last catechism class, we looked together into 1 Chronicles, you remember? Young adults who were there, 1 Chronicles 12. And it was on the fact that as Christians and as young people and as young adults, we must be decisive. That at the time David was king over Judah, and the people of the other 12 other tribes were just waiting to see what's going to happen to him. They were on the fence. We're not sure if we want to really get involved in this David or not. They were looking him over. And finally, there was this one guy, Amasiah, from Benjamin, from King Saul's own tribe, who came forward and said, "Thine we are, son of David, son of Jesse." He understood the promise was going through David. "We're with you. We stand with you as king." And then suddenly, men from the other tribes began to follow and came in. They had passion. They had purpose. They had commitment. Commitment to God's cause, to God's Son in their heart. They weren't sitting back and, oh no, they were all in. And others were all in. And then the last verse of the chapter. And there was joy in Israel. Where does joy come from in a church? Where does joy come from in our Christian life? When we're all in. When we're all in to God, to His Word, to His truth, to His church, to His gospel, to His people. We're all there. And there was joy. Jeremiah says, "Thy word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." He uses two words, the Holy Spirit. The word joy is to leap, and it refers to a horse. And the picture here is of a horse, a battle horse, leaping over the barricade. The joy of triumph. And the word rejoicing is more a word that speaks of shining and the expression on the face of joy. So he says, "Thy word gave me the joy of the victory, made me strong, the victory of God. And it gave to me an inward shining in my heart." That was very important for him because he was down in the pits. You read this prophecy, and often you're in the pits with the prophet, and he literally was thrown into a pit. But yet he says, "I have joy, for thy word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." And then I want to point out to you that what is so striking is where the verse is found. We read the whole chapter, and the whole chapter is certainly a chapter that is heavy on the severe and just judgment of God upon sin when it is not covered in Jesus Christ. That's the word that he had been chewing on. And so the point is that all of the scriptures, not parts of it, all of the scriptures were palatable to him. He ate it all. He didn't spit out parts of it. He didn't avoid parts of it. But it was the whole of the scriptures. He ate the whole word of God. Also the parts that cut. Also the parts that proclaim. God is God sovereign in his holiness, which denounce sin. That's so unpalatable to the modern tongue, to the modern taste bud. That's so unpalatable. We want from the church this warm, fuzzy only. God has this wonderful plan for our life. No, it was the whole scripture which proclaimed Romans 11, the justice and the severity of God and the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, and that God is God, and that man's problem is sin and our sin. He ate it all. And he says, the result was a personal assurance, "For I am called by thy name." That he is called by his name, the God's name, simply means the scriptures gave him the confidence that he was a child of God. That he was called by the name of God, Son of God, God's Son. The written scriptures, the Holy Spirit takes the scriptures, and through the scriptures, he works assurance in our hearts. To read the Bible may be intimidating. So I say to us, just read what you can. I said earlier that the Bible becomes its own tonic. That means you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit creates in you further appetite, read the Bible. But God has given us the Holy Scriptures to assure us of our salvation, to give us that blessed assurance through the Holy Scriptures, with the Spirit working in my heart. I see that the Bible knows me. It knows everything about me. It knows my deepest thoughts. Reading the Holy Scriptures, I become awed over something. The love of God in Christ, His grace, His mere grace, that He would love me. Reading the Holy Scriptures, the glory of God in the Scripture begins to woo me, draw me for more and more of my God and of His grace. Do you struggle with assurance? Stick with the diet. Yes, get help. Yes, find those in the church that you can talk to. Yes, but stick with the diet. Do you question through the trials that you're facing tonight whether God is for you, whether His promises are true? Stick with the diet. Keep reading. Don't put your Bible away. Follow Him. Are you being tempted? Are you about ready to turn off the road? You know when you're turning off the road. The road of obedience is uphill and it's bumpy. This other road is very smooth. You're about to go that way. God has said, turn right. You're going left. Stick with your diet. Stick with the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Do you long for the presence of God in your life? Stick with the diet. Reading the Holy Scriptures, something that we weren't expecting is communicated. Happiness, joy, contentment. But as we read the Scriptures, this is what is communicated. God says to me, you are mine. You will always be mine. I am your God and your Savior. Whatever you do, see to it that in your home you stick with the Holy Scriptures. It will feed your marriage and your daughter to life eternal. Amen. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy Word. We pray for its blessing upon our hearts. We pray that Thou would create within us that spiritual appetite. We pray that we may become diligent in Thy holy Word. Preserve it, not only in name, but preserve it in very truth. In Jesus' name, amen.